This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umeyer, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in the Washington area. And we turn to Lima, to the new president of Peru, Pedro Castillo, a man who understands campaigning. He has a wonderful hat. He's never seen without his hat, despite the fact he has a healthy head of hair because he's a young man. Good for him. He's made his entry as president, as chief executive. The puzzle here is Peru in play, or is Peru going to follow a script we've seen before, which is one man, one vote, one time? Joseph, can we tell with Castillo, is he going to seek to change the Constitution, as some of his supporters have said, although nothing's happened yet, or is he going to look for prosperity?
Well, John, if his goal was to tell people that he wants to look for prosperity and be a more pragmatic president, as some have suggested he might, he's not off to a good start with his inauguration. I mean, he had one of the most turbulent inaugurations I've seen in Latin America, where by the time he was sworn in as president on July 28th, he didn't even have a cabinet. They had to extend the appointment of the ministers in his cabinet to July 30th. So he went literally almost 48 hours without a cabinet inside Peru. And then when he did appoint his cabinet, there's specific people that he named in important positions of power that are very concerning and send an alarm all throughout Peru and I think all throughout Latin America. For instance, the foreign minister of Peru, Hector Bejar, is a former guerrilla leader that was trained in Cuba. And check this, John, he's a co-founder of the ELN from Colombia. This is a hardcore narco-terrorist who was incarcerated back in the 60s, late 60s for sedition. And he's kind of made another a revival, and he's now the foreign minister under President Castillo. The prime minister of Peru, Guido Bellido, another hardcore communist, has also been investigated by Peruvian authorities because he's defended members of the narco-terrorist group, the Shining Path. These individuals are not strangers to the Peruvian public or the Peruvian press, and they've been very concerned about this and his appointments. And not to mention, if you listen to his inaugural speech, it was very divisive, talking about winners and losers and good guys and bad guys, and essentially that they're going to recover the losses of the past. And it was very similar to the Evo Morales speech that he gave back in 2006, I believe, or 2005, when he was inaugurated as president of Bolivia. And the two are very much similar, both in the rhetoric and it appears to be also in their governing style.
If Senator Cabal was with us, once you mentioned the ELN, she would say, oh, Joseph. So I'm going to say it for her. Oh, Joseph, the ELN bedevils the government in Colombia, likely at the behest of or direction of the Caracas government. But back to Peru. It was badly hit in the pandemic in the first year of the pandemic. Now the Delta variant is in the field. Does this make Castillo's job easier or harder in your measure, Joseph, that the Delta variant is laying waste to the large capitals in South America, at least in terms of making people sick, if not dead?
Yes, that's a great question, John. And I think if we take this from the perspective of kind of this Western democratic view and say that we're assuming that Pedro Castillo wants to govern his country towards peace and prosperity, if we use that assumption, the pandemic is going to be a problem because, as we know, Peru's had one of the worst cases, both in terms of infections, deaths, and their economy. During the pandemic, and now they're going to get the Delta variant, or they have the Delta variant, and that's going to make things worse. But there's an alternative perspective, because if that assumption is not correct, and if Pedro Castillo doesn't care about governing his country much the way Daniel Ortega of Nicaragua doesn't care, or Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela doesn't care, then maybe what his goal is to fracture the country. If that is his goal, then the pandemic will help him, because it's going to allow him to once again pit Peruvians against Peruvians and find a way to create more divisiveness inside society so that he can create more conflict. Conflict is becoming a way for these autocratic regimes to maintain and control power. So I think that we have to figure out which direction Pedro Castillo wants to go. If you were to ask me, I think he's leaning toward the latter.
We will now turn to address the investor class. They're very interested in which way Peru goes because of its natural resources. Help me interpret this, Joseph. Castillo reassured the ownership copper mines, for example, that there was not the remotest plan to nationalize industry, but he said he would seek a new pact with private investors. What the heck does that mean?
We're going to be determined on what Pedro Castillo is talking about when it comes to economics. I don't think he understands economics very well, but he did appoint Pedro Franchi, who's not a hardline communist. He's definitely left-leaning, but he's not a hardline communist as his finance minister, but he appointed him very late. And so it wasn't really in time for the economic impact that his inauguration had. The Peruvian stock market dropped as much as 6% on the day of his inauguration. The Peruvian currency, the sol, which is their currency, had the biggest one-day loss in 7 years. That it's had. And so this has been, economically speaking, there's a lot of people very concerned about what he's going to do. Now, I don't think he's going to do, and this is my opinion, what they've done in Cuba or in Venezuela, because it's not that time. I don't think he's looking to nationalize industries. What I think he's going to do is he's going to try to create a corrupt industry where Peru already has rampant corruption, but a corrupt industry that allows him to steer the way foreign investment goes into his government, much in the same way that Evo Morales did in Bolivia.
So there will be a surtax on the investor class to do business with. In Colombia, you have to make available certain funds to the presidential leadership.
Well, that's the official one. And then there's always a backroom tax that's done through bribes and other type of business sweeteners that these companies provide. This is where China's been able to play up an advantage, because they don't mind using corruption as a way to be able to get more business and political influence, as opposed to the United States, who often tries to play by the rules of anti-corruption and upholding human rights. So I think Peru's going to move away from human rights. It's going to move more towards corruption, and that means it's going to move more towards China.
Joseph, remind me, the man who directed Castillo's very successful campaign so far, he is a Cuban. He's a physician. What's his name?
He's a Cuban-trained Peruvian. His name is Vladimir Cerrón. And he's the one that people are saying that's behind these appointments of these very radical ministers inside Castillo's cabinet.
And that direction is following a pattern that we've seen elsewhere in Latin America, I believe. And that means eventually, maybe sooner, they'll be looking to change the Constitution. Is that a fair assumption at this point?
No, that's more than a fair assumption, John. I think Castillo has mentioned that this is definitely in the cards for what they want to do. Initially, his speech laid the groundwork for it. And on the day of his inauguration, John, they released a photo of Vladimir Cerrón, the head of his political party, sort of the mastermind behind the Castillo presidency, dining in a very fancy restaurant in Peru with Evo Morales. So Evo Morales was in Peru during the Castillo ascension to power.
Evo Morales. I've heard that name before, Joseph. Yes, of course. Evo Morales is a very, very influential former leader of an Andean chain government. Joseph Umar, he is the executive director of Secure Free Society. Lima, Peru, is now enjoying the early days of the presidency of Pedro Castillo. This is the New World Report, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.